You're still under 10.
Right.
That's good so far. Good.
Things are better next week.
Why?
Well, I'm going to the river.
Oh, what river are you headed to? Are you going to go float it? Are you doing some river rafting?
That's the only other reason to go up there.
Well, don't people fish or like, I don't know, people do other things.
25 years
Yeah,
working.
floating it.
We've done it, yeah.
Is the whole family going? How fun. I love that. I run into Spencer quite a bit lately. He's a fun kid. So nice.
He did, I don't know if you run, you may run anything now. He just started working for Amazon.
Did he? Good for
Delivery.
him. That's great. That's very
So
cool.
they know how to
So their
figure out
family
what
will go. I ran into
trains
Becky
do faster.
earlier. Is their family going with you?
They
So I've
do
got
their own thing.
a guy
They
making a grand
got
this
it.
weekend. My
Well, they've
wife.
been at my house
They're
all
not
day.
doing it through
My wife's niece in town.
work. He
She's like,
started
so that's why I
through
got my
her
temples
through
drinking
Nielsen
rolling.
Homes
When
through
I'm
their
drunk,
work
it's my
before
time with
my
Maria.
house.
I was like,
They
they came
got
over every day, all
a
day long.
big thing
My
going
house
on.
is just
Great.
this.
What about Jeff and
We get in
Angie?
the house.
Do
But
they
it's
come
funny
down
how
every
they're,
couple
she's our good daughter, but
of
Maria.
they did years ago. What?
Yeah.
He got
And
married,
then
moved
how
back
old
here.
are they?
Now
But
they're, I mean,
they're
only
good.
about 5 years or
And,
something. Yeah.
my wife would think pretty much right.
Well, they usually have tracks on their house.
Right.
They
So
don't
John
see
and Ann, you'll
Johnny
see Sharon
Gallagher.
and Shannon.
Greater
Hey, John.
Oxford.
Yeah, very
She's
good.
so
Sharon.
quiet. Hey, how you
A
doing?
bunch of
Yeah.
trees then.
I'll be
Oh,
friends with
yeah.
you.
Danny,
She
she came
came
to
by
the house.
running.
Yes, and
She
grandma's like,
came
I'm
with.
not,
No,
I got
no,
a
sorry.
drink. Oh.
No. I also joined
Well,
the
she,
yeah.
mom's,
Yeah.
he's
He's
probably
probably
nice. He's
nice
nice. I
track
can't
that
find
in the
him.
country.
Every day I'm coming up with her. She goes, well, so I get started, I go, come out. Yeah.
Here, go.
Okay, you have something else?
All right.
Get my reading glasses.
Yeah.
Roll the tray.
Well, I'm sure I'm only a few years away from it. You say like 45 of those people. I've never had up close. Between, yeah, they really can say between 45 and 50. So I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Yeah, right.
Do
Do
my
you
neck.
see
Yeah,
this?
he's oh, yeah, when we go down.
Oh, how old are
We'll
you?
wait for the distinguished gentleman.
And just barely starting to happen?
I've been fighting it for a couple of years.
Okay, because people you generally say around 45 is when people are starting to lose that. Interesting.
Yeah.
You're only 45. You're a baby.
Call it
Oh,
a baby.
you're a baby. This is my
Man,
I'm 45. Way older than
I
you.
wish I had felt that a girl.
Yeah.
Oh, name?
Second.
Second. Oh, that's a good name,
Yeah.
really. Yeah, you seem pretty.
Oh, Tim just pulled in. That's his fault.
Tim's also got our thoughts today, right? Oh, no.
Guys,
Leonard's go.
Leonard's
I'm
got it.
not
Oh,
from
we can
here.
start
He's
then.
go.
If it's
I was
perfectly
right.
fine,
I
we're
told my people start
good to
when you
go.
get those. You can
Yeah.
keep. We're not going backwards. We're just
I
going
forgot to
to
bring
try
the
to
picture with me.
grow.
Yeah, I think I should just write one and have it on hand.
Don't
So
complain either.
we have this
We
area.
have.
Maybe we go off.
Should we clap? Sorry, I'm late. How are you guys? Good.
Welcome.
No.
We started pulling just as I was getting ready to start. We
Oh,
are moving. We'll invoke the 32nd
and you're
round.
good to go.
Thanks. Okay, we will call to order the Thursday, July 23rd, 2026 regular board meeting of the Northview Fire District Board. We have all members here. Welcome, everyone. And no members of the public are present yet, anyway. So
They don't came for his presentation.
we will begin. We will begin with an opening prayer reading or expression of thought and pledge of allegiance by Leonard Call.
You have the States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's something a little different today because of the 250th anniversary. You will poem, well, I don't know if it's a poem, but I'll read it. I walked through a country courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I was like, holy shit. I said, your old courthouse is kind of run down. He said, nah, it'll do for our little town. I said, your old flagpole is leaning a bit, and that's the ragged old flag you've got hanging on. He said, have a seat, and I sat down. Is this the first time you've been to our little town? I said, I think it is, he said. I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in the flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it, writing, well, say, can you see? And it got a bad rip in New Orleans, Packingham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo, beside the Texas flag. But she waved on through. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Founders Field in New World War I, she got a big hole from the earth again. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent and by her own sand. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam. And now they're about with waving back here at home. In her own good land, where she's been abused, she's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare, and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in, because she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, we take her down every night, we don't let her touch the ground, and we pull her up tight. Right. On second thought, I do like to brag, but I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
It
was by Johnny Cash in 1974.
Will you send that to me, please?
Hurry the Johnny Bolton
for now.
That's quite good. It's awesome.
The Johnny Cash?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you, Leonard, for that. That's great. Yes. And before we forget, happy Pioneer Day, everybody, tomorrow. It has a nice holiday. We're to item number two, consideration to approve the minutes of June 11th, 2026. Those were distributed electronically in our packets. Any changes or questions, clarifications?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the June 11th, 2022 board meeting.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Go to item number three, consideration to approve the monthly financial transactions for May and June 2026. And we have Jeff Davis here. Jeff, do you want to?
Sure. Before we go to the year-to-date budget, actual budget, any questions on the transactions for May or June? Okay.
We need it all approved.
We will. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So you've got the year-to-date actuals to budget. Apologize in a couple of the line items. Forgot to delete the first payroll in May has been recorded. They're all been recorded. That's actually true, but we've got a lot more than that. So this budget is year end, all 12 months. The only thing it doesn't have is year end adjustments that I'll make. And then if there are any adjusting entries that we will make from the auditors as well. Mostly depreciation. There will be some adjustments to compensated absences, to the Utah retirement system, and so forth. So those are just year-end adjustments that will be in play for next few months or so. But so we should be 100% so forth. So if you look, let's just focus there on, we look at the revenue, total income. We are at actual of 7,609,000. We budgeted 7,367,000. So we actually had income of about 242,000 more than we budgeted. There's a couple adjusting entries, like we'll be getting revenue to be recorded for June ambulance rides that aren't billed till July. That's usually about 40,000-50,000. But that'll probably be about where we'll land in income. Any particular questions you have on any of the detail?
I see the impact fees were considerably higher, but does that doesn't go to operations, right? It goes to the LBA?
No.
Is that the part that we get in?
Essentially, we basically, if you go to the end, we have the amount that goes to the LBA. The only amount that goes to the LBA is really for the debt.
Debt, so we get to keep the balance just operating.
Yep. We only have a general fund, so everything goes really into general fund, and then we allocate the amounts to the LBA, the debt to the LBA anyway.
Can I just clarify something? Sure. It can get recorded here because we've lent the LBA all this money to make bond payments, and since the type of money coming in, it has to go toward that kind of stuff to prove that we're eligible to collect it and that kind of stuff. But we way spend more money than we bring in, so what we get in can go with the general fund.
Yeah, we do a report every year to the state on what we've collected for those funds too. So, all right.
What are property tax redemptions?
Late fees,
late taxes.
Late taxes that are coming in, and we do get a little interest off those. The only really revenue, let's see. Whereas with fee and lieu, we were a little, our actual was not quite what we budgeted. We were a little lower there. See paramedic license revenue from Weber County. We're about 20,000 over. That's because that account, that was renewed. So we're getting a little bit more.
Why were we so off on ambulance revenue? I mean, obviously in our favor, but I'm just curious.
We think it was the paramedic.
It's not as good if you look at the total line.
Well, I know. Yeah, we talked about this in the meeting prior to this. We believe that's the difference in the paramedic warranties, which we're just about breaking down on.
So you're thinking the 114,000 is way high. So if I go to total 4-100 ambulance fee revenue.
I'm just looking at revenue billings.
Yeah.
I think the big thing is that adjustments you get made because we don't get all the ambulance.
So the main thing is there, the billings, remember, we only get roughly 50%.
Right.
And so the main item for that I really look at, and I look at the other details too, but is that total 4-100, because that's the net. We do the billings, but then there's contractual adjustments, there's the bad debt adjustments, there's the revenue collection fees taken out. It's, if you look at 4-100-6, that's deposits. So there's write-offs, which are, if you do 4-100-C, $1,000,004, that's contractual adjustments. And then bad debt is 231. That's how much has actually been written off. But then 40,000 of that is recouped through outsource or you know, through collections after it's written off.
Right.
But correct me if I was wrong, Jeff, we talked at the meeting prior and just said that that's just about the amount we think would have been would have been paid to the paramedic provider's free deposit, right?
Right.
And that may be the reason that that is more than we projected, was because it was about the amount we would have paid out prior to ambulance billing deposits. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, I just really, because of contractual and the bad debt and so forth.
No, about 100,000.
Yeah, so if you look at, by the way, if you look at PMA revenue and expense, so last year we paid out about 100,000 to PMA, paramedic board, to other entities. You'll notice, and I'm netting those, so I get expenses and then I'm bringing in the revenue that's being put in there as well. So our PMA revenue expense, we're about even. We're getting in PMA revenue same amount that we're paying out. So it's because we're now obviously in the paramedic club. Maybe I shouldn't say it that way, but so that was really good.
So was that 114,000 positive most the way down what our net is on revenue for ambulance?
Yeah, which is great.
So
I'm just, I guess the question, what caught my attention is as far as a projection, we projected 1.4 million in ambulance revenue and we had 3.365.
Yeah, when I do the budget, I just put in
a number
what I think the net will be.
Okay.
Instead of, because I have no idea. I could probably figure out the billings, contractual and bad debt. That's really hard to do. So I just put in the top line net billings is how I do it, so that you'll see everything zero, and then 4-100, it comes out pretty close.
Yeah.
I think that's the most meaningful number for us. What the net is.
Right.
But
it is.
Yeah. I mean,
it is a function, though. It does tell us we're working pretty hard. We're working a lot harder than
we're
projecting.
Every year, also, from the audit perspective, I do a revenue accounts receivable analysis that goes to the auditors. So they look at that, and basically that's how I the main purpose of that is to, I have to do a how much of the ambulance accounts receivable will not be collected. So allowance for doubtful accounts receivable. It's a little harder with medical, because there's always contractual and bad debt. In a regular retail, it's just, okay, if I have accounts receivable, how much am I not going to get from my payments? Well, I have to collect from two places, you know, insurance and then the patient. And so I do that analysis, and that actually calculates, and that's an adjusting entry I haven't made either, to figure out what of allowance for doubtful accounts will be. And that doesn't show on this budget because it's a balance sheet item. So
I think one thing that's, you know, he made a comment about 50%, and that sounds horrible, but historically we've been the best in the county at the collection of what we're working in percentage. And those are industry write-offs and that. I think because of the demographics we have out here, we're very fortunate to have that percentage.
Sure.
Yeah, before I take out PMA fees, deposits from ambulance revenue, I figure, you know, 40, 50, probably contractual is about typically 50 to 55% over the years. Bad debt expense, which is from not getting paid from patients, that's probably maybe 2-3% over the years. So, and so I do calculate that, and that's how I calculate how much I think the allowance accounts receivable that is still in the process, which is right now about $600,000. So we'll probably, I'll take that and say, okay, accounts receivable still as of June 30th, 600,000, 50% of that we won't collect because of contractual or bad debt expense. But you don't see that on the budget because budget's more just revenue and expenditures.
Is revenue prevention revenue a new program we're pushing? Is there no budget, but we just got an income?
Yeah, we just wanted to track it. So Steve Parker updated the fee schedule and added some billing and charges for services that he's been doing that other agencies charge for that we weren't. So we just wanted to deposit that in a separate account so that we could see what that actually was. With a plan of eventually, you know, trying to balance prevention activities and education activities with that budget, trying to sort of match that same revenue dollar amount. But we wanted to get a year or two of that to see what we felt like was reasonable.
We do feel good about, we're on the expenditure side. We've been trying to, you know, hold the line there. But sometimes even more important is, hey, you know, we've done some good things, certainly in terms of being able to reduce the expenditures. Well, we're getting PMA revenue now to offset pretty much all our PMA expenses. So there's $100,000 more that we're doing. And then obviously a big part of that is the, where was it, paramedic revenue. And then also our property, our LBA items that we get in debt fund impact fee. So that's increased there.
So impact fees, that comes from new development, right? So
we're still getting that from the cities.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a big increase over what we anticipated.
It's because all the building became commercial and industrial as opposed to residential. So,
yeah.
$10
opposed to
$100. And so Ryan actually sees the system available to him that we look at, what all of those charges are from all the cities and so forth. And then again, we do a report that's required by the state auditor every year. So any other questions, revenue side? Expenditures, if you look at salaries and wages total, we are about 160,000 over what our budget was. Keeping on going down. The next one's all the benefits and so forth. So if you go down to total 5-130 employee benefits expense, okay, there where actual is less than our budgeted. And the biggest reason for that is our compensated absences amount.
Is the $100,000 in salaries and wages, is that extra overtime?
So we had an extraordinary amount of injuries and surgeries, caused people to be out for extended periods of time. So overtime, I think, was how many percent over? 10% over?
Yeah.
10 or 11% over budgeted, but we think that was a fluke. And if we keep everybody healthy by implementing Jeremiah's the anabolic program and doing life scan physicals, so we can keep people working if they're not having that good response.
Those compensated absence is something we're tracking different, why there's no expense?
Well, the way I've been calculating it till this year, is basically putting in if we lost everybody, how much we'd have to pay out that's in their PTO balances.
More as a liability.
As a liability, and then
well, you just plan on there could be a liability, and then in reality, yeah, you don't have any.
GASB has actually changed as of last year. So that was after we'd done the budget for FY26. We'll be doing a little bit different this year. So we won't have that cushion, if you will. In some way, it was a cushion for, you know, total expenditures, but we'll be fine. You know, I mean, the theory of it is, okay, if you had to pay out all your PTO balance, that's a liability. But from year to year, and that's how I calculate it, but from year to year, since I was already running a liability from the prior year, the actual expense will be an adjusting entry, which will be much less than probably the compensated absences, because it takes what your liability was last year minus the liability.
So that's what our new fund balance policy changed how we manage. So we're reducing the amount that's budgeted each year and generally speaking not spent to have a leaner budget, yeah, rather than using that as a default cushion every year. I want to be a little bit more precise. So policy now that you guys adopted is 25% of our total liability with the mechanism to compensate if we exceed that is just doing budget adjustment specifically for that occurrence. But again, that would mean over 25% of our employees decided to come. Then we'd have to, that's a serious problem, which probably doesn't mean anything about that anyway. Then we would adjust the budget. So the philosophy, you know, again, it may cause a little bit more work because our budget is leaner, but that's the message I've gotten from you guys in the past, is that we want our budget to reflect what we think we'll actually spend. And then if we need to exceed that, then we justify that and be able to make adjustments.
If you go to total expenses, after the expenditure numbers, you'll see total expenses were about $106,000 under budget. And of course, that does include that compensated absences cushion to a certain extent. But we're doing okay. Obviously, I've got the line items there. Green is under budget for expenditures. Pink is pretty close. And red is, you know, we went a bit over on each of those line items. But overall, our total expenses are okay for the year. We're under budget. Our actual is under what we budgeted, which is what the state auditor is really looking for. They don't care if our actual revenue is more than our budgeted revenue. They only care really if our budgeted expenses are
right. Yeah, so our actual is higher than throughout the year. And so seeing that some of those were going to exceed their budgeted amount, because of, again, we had some accidents and some garage doors that needed to be replaced, and some, you know, overtime exceeding the budgeted amount, we just pulled back on some of those other line items and decided what things we could go without to get through and land the plane. And we did. So
you don't see any items that we should have reopened the budget to?
Yeah, I look at that pretty close. And decide, you know, I don't think we need to, you know, as far as the operating, because we end up with total expenses in a positive position. It does get a little interesting. So you've got other income and then other expenses. Those are typically things that, you know, are not our day-to-day operating expenses or income. You'll see interest earned about $37,000 more than we budgeted. As interest rates, they are slightly dipping now. So this has been good. Our PTIF has really earned us good money, but it was 5% a year ago. Now we're down to 3.89%. So it is going down with the rate as the going there.
$187,000.
Yeah, there we've thought, okay, we've always kind of toyed around, okay, do we take any cash that we have? Because we are pretty good in cash balances. Is it worth investing that maybe you get, 6, 7, 8%? Well, PTIF is very safe, gives us a pretty good, so we really haven't gone that in that way, and it presents other higher risk, obviously. So we just use PTIF as where we keep our cash balance. If any of you feel like there's something that we could do more than that, that's worth the risk, that's something to look into, but I'm not sure it's worth it right now. Especially with the volatility.
We looked into it about, 8, 10 years ago, it's been, and we kind of looked at, maybe put 100,000 here and 100,000 there just to keep under the federal insurance and all that kind of stuff, and decided it was kind of more hassle than PTIF does. It's pretty good, and I think it's a good place.
And there's some, state treasury rules that if we invested somewhere else, you have to follow and you have to make sure that you're using you're on their approved list.
Do we have a financial advisor on this kind of stuff?
No.
No.
You talk, you're
not. Just me.
Well, and that's not,
Will there be a depreciation expense when you do the year end?
Yeah, budgeted 350. It'll be close to that. So that's down there in other expenses.
Yeah.
So depreciation expense budget 350. I'll calculate all that. It'll be close to that.
Then the equipment purchases we budgeted, but we. I mean, that's an accumulation we're doing.
Yeah, and that
future
again, that comes when we buy something, it's a debit to the asset account. So eventually, at the end of the year and so forth, yes, I'll transfer from something for this capital fund, but we really were very, very, frugal in equipment purchases. The other, you can see the other items, some of the MBA bond interest, and then the inter-fund transfers, those will be adjusted at the end of the year so that we can hit our target amounts for the LBA and the transfer for capital improvements or capital. We don't call it capital fund. It's not a fund anymore. It's an amount that's set aside. So generally, if you look at total net income at the bottom, obviously it's not a good picture because I haven't done some big major adjusting entries, depreciation and so forth.
Where do you think that's going to come out at?
I my guess is around 200, between 200 and 300, which is where we've been running about 2%, 2-3% of our budget.
He kind of answered. My question was going to be, going into Truth and Taxation when we present, do we have an idea? Because you talked about 200,000 extra income, 100,000 savings and expenses. I know we won't really know that figure till like December, but we have a pretty good idea of how much we can have in our next discussion at our next meeting about how we pulled this much back in. And it sounds like you're kind of got a rough.
Yeah.
Like I said, you kind of answered this.
Yeah, it depends on, I know depreciation will be pretty close. Depends on, what the compensated absences calculates out to be. The other thing that's interesting is on the financial statements we do, we actually put in a have to put in an adjusting entry for taxes to be received for the next year, and then that's offset for the taxes it's offset by a debt as well. So it's kind of funny, you put in what you're going to receive and what you'll owe, and it's a wash for the most part, but it's got to be there. So GASB stuff. So I think we're looking at it just fine, in good position, you know, cash wise, but also asset wise and revenue and expenditures. Any other questions, direction, thoughts?
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is there a motion?
Move to approve the financial statement.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve the financials for May and June. Those in favor, or is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Very good. Item four is public comments, and just let the record reflect there are no members of the public that are here. Item five, discussion and or action.
Did we discuss the transaction views voted on the...
Oh, sorry.
Isn't there a transaction action too?
Well, we actually, I think
we vote approved, everything
we don't, yeah. We don't approve technically that what he was reviewing. He asked first if we had any questions regarding the financial transactions. And that was the motion, was to approve the financial transactions. But did you have something, John, that you wanted to ask about that?
No, it just seems like in the past we've approved individually the transactions, but if
we
that
don't,
motion doesn't...
We don't, so we yeah. don't approve the year-to-date actual year-to-date. Versus budget. That's not, that's more for our information. It's yeah. not, it's not an approval.
So, but we don't have to approve the transaction.
That's what we approve.
Okay, sorry.
But did you have any,
ambulance.
Did you have any other questions? Okay. All right. So item number five, discussion and or action to approve the local public safety and firefighter surviving spouse trust agreement and resolution. And resolution 26-7.
I'm trying to share my screen there. Perfect. This is your yeah. Gary. You can't both share the same. Okay.
We want to.
We can try. So this is an annual agreement to participate in the local public safety and firefighter survival spouse trust fund. The state runs, this isn't optional, this is something we have to participate in. And we pay $100 per employee per year to be members, and the resolution agrees that we will, in the case of a confirmed line of duty death, contribute all or partially to the continued benefits of the surviving spouse.
And their children.
And their children.
Till they're 26.
Say that one more time, Mr.
Barry. So
if
they're
contribute.
Yes, so that we will at least up to 100% or even partially continue the coverage of the insurance.
Coverage. The premium.
Health insurance.
Okay, and like we're paying the full amount of
for surviving
got
spouse
it.
And
got it, got it, got
and again, none of this is negotiable.
No, I know. I'm like, hang on a second here.
Yeah.
We're agreeing to what? So go, yeah. Thank you.
It's been a long day. No, it's me. I've been talking all day.
No,
so again, this is just sort of an annual thing. Again, have been trying to do more of these. There agreements that would qualify as an interlocal that have funding attached with another government agency, like the state or another city. We now need to do those as a resolution. We realized that was something that we should have been doing.
And that has been approved by legal as well.
Yeah, so legal has seen this and
teacher.
So it's in the line of duty.
Correct. It has to be a confirmed line of duty death.
And the state pays out the money that we pay into. So
is there any talk on this? I know it's been talked about before, but they pay up to when the spouse is on Medicare.
Yes.
It doesn't talk about, you know, an absolution of if they get other coverage.
Right.
So
there's no like some reduction.
No. Just paid up to they when they get Medicare and the children are 26.
Yep.
And I thought it was interesting they put vision in there because that's not a mandatory, neither dental mandatory requirement in the state of Utah.
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to get a legislator down there to try to get some provisions.
Ryan Wilcox, our legislator, and he's probably the one that
did this.
Mm-hmm. And I guess. But he's the
I think he is.
Yeah.
It seems right up his alley.
We just hate to have, you know, somebody have double coverage for the rest of their life when it's unnecessary and doesn't really do much anymore.
Right.
Any
question?
Me. Oops, we want to make a motion.
I'd move to approve resolution 2607 in the local safety firefighter surviving asbestos group.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 26-07. Is there any further discussion? This will be by roll call. Chris?
Yep.
Leonard?
Yes.
Kristen?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Good. I will go to item number six, presentation on the quarter two data.
Jeremiah was unable to attend, so I'll do my very best to represent this data, but I'm a proud nerd like he is, so may not be as good. Okay. All right, so second quarter, so this is year to date compared to last year. So we are responded to 1,107 calls for service in the second quarter, up 198 calls or 21.8% from the first quarter and 298 calls from the second quarter of 2025. Although some of this increase may be attributed to the additional Medic 21. That was a question that we got asked, and we want to dig into that. We're still trying to understand exactly what the impact of that is. Maybe we won't know completely until we have an entire year's worth of data.
Right. So
this is just a little bit. But trying to get our heads around a little bit, Medic 21 responded to 125 out-of-district calls during second quarter. Year-to-date, comparing first and second quarter to 2025 to the same period of 26, total call volume has increased 507 calls with 226 of those being Medic 21 out of district responses. That means we've still seen year over year, when accounting for Medic 21 calls, an increase of 281 calls so far this year.
So far, right?
Now that should balance out again. The Medic unit went into service July 1st last year, so now we're already into that third and fourth quarter. That should be direct comparison. Should have a pretty good idea. Once we get through the next two quarters, like what it actually looks like. But it looks like we're seeing, obviously, increased call numbers because of Medic 21, but it looks like we're also seeing a pretty significant increase organically. But why that is, still don't know. I was talking to Tim about this, and it's a really interesting thing, doing the projections and trying to say, you know, this is what we think call volume will be in the future. So, we tend to start with population, they look like they are completely decoupled. So other contributing factors may be economic demographic, age, density, all these sort of things. If I had to do another EFO project, that's probably what it would be, but I don't have the time to start. But I would love to figure that out. Maybe when I retire, I'll have to figure that out.
It's a project.
Right now, we in our 2025 numbers, we were seeing a call per, and this is really kind of the number that we need to track, not population, is calls per citizen or system utilization. So how much is our system being used? In 2025, that was an 85 calls per 1,000, or about 1 in 11 citizen was using our service. Now, obviously, it's not every 1 in 11 because we get repeat customers. You guys get the joke. But other areas, like Ogden next door, has a call utilization rate of 284 calls per 1,000 citizens, or 1 in 4.5. And what are the differences? Not really sure. But that seems to be the number that we need to start looking at a little more closely, is what's the increase in system utilization? It does seem completely separate. So I think since 2018, we've seen an 85% increase in call volume and only a 16% increase in population. So interesting. So if y'all got any ideas, let me know. Lots of contributing factors. So again, here's your calls, quarterly comparisons year to date. Again, remember in that is it's missing those medic calls, the outside area of medic calls. The medic calls inside the area share the same call number as the truck and the ambulance. So those wouldn't inflate the first call, just the stuff where they're going outside. Call volume comparison, PBER transfers are up too. So that's accounting for some of that. And again, that's an interesting.
So are you saying the total calls, that includes the medic out of area?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And it just looks like about half of that increase was those medics outside of the area. But again, this is an interesting graph as well, because the our relationship and our contract with PBR has not changed, but those numbers are also up notably. So whatever is causing us to see increased calls for house calls, is it looks like it's also causing more people to seek first care at PBER, or then being shipped out by us to the satellite hospitals. So people are utilizing EMS, and if you include PBER in that system, they're using EMS in this area quite a bit more than they have in the past, and completely separate the states from the population. All right, paramedic calls out of area. So again, this is what that is. And this will start to get interesting with quarter three and quarter four, because we'll start to see what our comparisons are for that. Are we going out of the area more often than not? Are we staying in our area more? That was just outlining those. We know, so fire
when
calls.
You say our area, that's our paramedic area, which includes
our district.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yes. Technically, the paramedics, it is the paramedic district.
And that district is Plain City and Far West.
Yeah, so it's
I mean,
not,
that's our coverage area.
Yeah, it's not defined by hard lines on map. They're using closest unit based on a fixed facility. So closest address determined by dispatch for each call based on where our fixed facility location is. So the state
is not just our three cities.
No.
It's the area that we're assigned.
Correct. Yep. So Ogden's three responds into the bottom portion of Harrisville automatically because they are closer. And we agree with that. And that's great. Like, we would get more revenue if that was our medics. Sure, because we're going to have to pay paramedic for each hour. That is like the right thing. Medical emergency is for people. But for us now, with 61, which is in Far West, moving to West Haven, that became all our paramedics' responsibility. So first in Far West, and first in the majority of Plain City. And then still a significant amount of aid into Ogden when they're in service, because they're very, very. This just goes over fire calls and times. These haven't changed much. Yeah, we compare quarter one over quarter two. We are getting a little bit faster. Jeremiah has just finished. We are piloting. We are the pilot program in the beta for a new MDT system that uses a VPN and iPads inside of the rigs that the units, our guys, can go and route and arrive by push button rather than waiting for dispatch to, number one, acknowledge them on channels that are just getting busier and busier. And then number two, we think we're seeing a pretty significant delay between the time that they're acknowledging our guys and the time that they're pushing the button. So we want to have good, accurate data,
how long is it taking our guys to get from the alarm to the truck, and how long is it taking us as close to, you know, exact as we can get from, you know, the time that the guys go en route, they leave the station, the time they set the park break.
Is that got mapping software too?
To the houses? Yes, yeah.
Is that live active right now?
Yeah, we just educated the officers on that last week. So we're hoping we really wanted to get it in as soon as we can, close to the July 1st, and we get an entire quarter of good data. But we're pretty excited to be the ones that are lead out on that, especially because the radio is getting busier and busier with the addition of Virgin City, our channel. So what was a problem that we can see in our data, we think will be a bigger problem as the channels get busier. So it's not uncommon for our officers to say, we went the route and they never pushed it back. So that's a piece of data we have to throw out. Or if we arrived and they never put us on scene. So that's stretching those response times and making them look worse than they are. So, but without, you know, the decisions you make with data are as good as the data that you have. So that's what we're trying to do, is get an accurate picture of what the data actually is. We start jumping to huge conclusions about how long it's taking our task to get. They're telling us they're going faster than they are. They're watching the clocks, and we have this problem in the bed. And I see them go, and you know, my internal clock is ticking, and I'm thinking that's pretty good. That felt like a minute. And then we get our times back at 2.5, 3 testing process. So that's right. So we want better data. On the PSAP time, you can see that those are also a little bit long. That's the dispatch side, so that's the time from that they pick up the 911 call to the time that they set off the phone. But we don't feel comfortable addressing that with them until we've cleaned our own room. So we want to make sure that we have good data, that we trust, that we have done everything we can to shave the seconds and minutes off of our total response time before we feel start criticizing. Okay, so you can see your over-under. So again, you have to take these with a grain of salt a little bit, because we're not sure of any of the numbers, but the one number that you can 100% trust is your total response time. So the third graph down, because that wouldn't be influenced by dispatchers clicking the button or failing to. This is the time that the 911 call is picked up to the time that the park break is set by our guys on scene. So these are about as tight as we're going to get. You can see that still over by a minute and some in planning zone 21, planning zone 22, about 2 minutes, 20 seconds, planning zone 23, 2.5, planning zone 24, 3 minutes. And then, of course, we know the planning zone 25 up in this corner of the district is difficult for us to get to, but we're hopeful that the infrastructure changes, the extension and completion of Mountain Road will change those numbers significantly. If not, then that's an issue we can be working.
Hey, we are the first one in Plant City now and part of far west in that area.
Uh-huh.
Is there ever a thought of coordination with Union Pacific on the rail line? I know because part of Harrisville's cut off by that.
Oh, I'm not sure.
I mean, is there any like GPS we could ever tap into to see, oh, hey, there's a train coming, it's going to be here, or I should go this way?
That's a great idea.
Or no, go to Fifth and Edwards overpass?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure the rail companies would be willing to help us with that.
They don't work well with us.
No. I'm going to say they're not very generally.
They're the hardest and the team to work with.
They kind of just do whatever they want.
Yeah,
my old world.
Yeah, Mayor.
Do you see us ever? Railway, you see us eventually building the
bridge.
Overpass?
Not the bridge.
No, that's a state road, and you know, they looked at it on 12th Street, which is a bigger need. As
yeah,
like they're so expensive, and it's like
it's still in the plan on 12th, but
yeah,
by year plan.
Yeah,
it's Forest Street will bring us our lines. Take them a year to build it, but they're about to.
I mean, that would be help because they could dispatch a different unit.
We're building,
yeah, and that was something that like our guys could
communicate. Yeah. Anybody have any Union Pacific contacts?
That might
actually be a fun project, Marcel.
Okay, so, and I think this is important when you talk to the people you represent that, you know, we talk, and I said this before, but we talk 4 minute, 8 minute. Remember, that's just perfect. If they want to get an actual idea how long it takes to get emergency responders to their front door if they have an emergency. These are more accurate, right? This is the time they pick up the phone and the time our guys set the park break at her house. So, you know, just between, you know, roughly 8 minutes and 11 minutes, depending on where that call comes in. The time the call comes in to the time we're on scene. Those are for medical. This is your second quarter calls only in green dots. Showing you, this would include the paramedic units. So you can see likely most of those green dots out there are the medic unit. We do go up into the upper valley pretty frequently.
That's medic calls, I said.
Those are likely, I can pull up the medic calls specifically. Those might be brush fire responses. We do send brush or 622. Keep trying to pull the engine over, divide automatically, and we've had to keep fixing that at dispatchments. It's something we're willing to send, but not on a first call. It needs to be something that's confirmed. Medical, let's see, here's your medic 21 calls. So that'll show you on the next page. So in red are the out of district, again, within their area as a county resource, but outside of our boundaries and the policy province.
The ones just south.
See all the way down.
Those are out of your area as well.
Yep. So you can see our planning zones where the colors stop. That's the edge of our district boundary. Everything outside of that would be, if they weren't a county resource, we would consider it a given. But again, because they're a county resource, this is just part of their response. You can see they went all the way down to Roy, border Clinton, all the way up in the upper valley, and out to Plain City and far west Clarendon. All right, here's your all call second quarter 2026, just inside our district boundaries. You can see we're still heavily concentrated, roughly below the separation between 21 and 22. Mm-hmm. But we still do have a significant amount of calls up in that 25 area. So I am anxious to get Mount Room completed to see what it does, number one. Number two, it's definitely going to help, but it's going to improve service up there.
What's that time for them?
Mayor, I was talking to my sister at the county. It's scheduled for 2030. She says faster than that.
Yeah.
She partnered to speak to it.
We're hoping that it'll be quicker in the next 2 to 3 years. They're buying the right of ways right now.
Mm-hmm. And some new plans being reviewed right now.
Right. Yeah. What's that?
You said you talked to your sister?
Sister-in-law.
Oh, sister-in-law. My sister-in-law coming. She does all the
Brooke is his first sister model. Brooke.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's for sure.
That's a really good job. Yeah, that job.
So I told her to hurry it up. Can you get some more money out there? She said, I'll see what I can do. Okay. Under over 4 minute travel, you can see in all the expected areas, nothing new here. Again, the insight we kind of had, the insight we kind of had recently was that most of these orange misted dots down in the center of 21's zone are likely 21 is busy on the fall and 22 probably are. Here's that map right there. So here's your 22 units in planning zone 21 over one quarter. Then your medical heat, nothing new there. The same hot spots right in the center of the city, then on the 89 corridor. That's it. You guys have any questions on that? It's my best year of my impression. Do okay?
Very good.
These visuals are great.
Awesome.
Isn't he good?
That's good data.
What I'll just show you is kind of a brag. He puts this together now for the county paramedic programs. This is the quarter two, January to now, or total to June report on the medic unit. So he does the same breakdowns for each medic unit. Show county level what he's been doing, along with a breakdown of total calls, transports, non-transports, so on and so forth.
What system pulls that data?
He pulls that all out of dispatches. It's like the back door on dispatch, Flex, I think it's called. And then he uses a program called ArcGIS to build maps. So if we scroll down to R's on the read, just know Ogden's really busy. That's all that says. Over and over. So here's ours. You can see our total calls Then percent, the number of calls that end resulted in transports, number that resulted in non-transports, canceled en routes, and then the throwaway data because it was incomplete when we pulled it from dispatch. So total calls, 762 over the course of quarter one and quarter two, total of 307 transported, or roughly 40% of our calls we respond to end up at the hospital. Then non-transports are 455 treated on scene and released, roughly 60%, which if you look at some of Ogden's numbers, they're closer to 70% non-transported, pretty close for Medic 3, and Medic 1 is 70% non-transported. So, again, Jeremiah's doing good work. He's making us look good. Here's the main thing he did. Made that you guys want. So if you want to see,
pay for it.
So here's our made it missed it. If you're curious, sort of how that looks for our 8 minute travel for paramedic.
Green made it.
Green made it. Red's missed it. But we're kind of pushing it out into the Plain City area. We're still closer than 66 minutes. Okay. Any questions on data?
Well, I like what you have on there on ours. The last line that says that we have the highest transport rate, which shows that the medics are willing to do their job.
Not only that, I think it has a little bit to do with demographic. I think our residents are more likely to only call if they're experiencing actual crisis. So as you get into that higher density, lower economic demographic areas like Ogden, those non-transport rates go up.
And travel time too. We've got longer travel time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kudos to our medics.
Yes, they're doing an awesome job. That's all I got on it.
Great.
Four.
Okay, we'll go to item number 7, presentation on the quarter 2 strategic plan.
Okay, this will be pretty quick. I'm going to say it right before I talk now.
Oh, good.
No, I'm just kidding. It's been a long week. I'm ready to go. All right, let's see. Okay, doing an awesome job. Not a lot to update here. I think we covered most of that in the update. But again,
oh, shoot.
Anyway.
As long as you can see it.
Yeah, it's good. Just trust me, a lot of green, which is great. Okay, so you can see the green fleets, just to kind of go back and review where we've come from. You can see significant number of goals that we had 2024, all completed. 2025, same thing, all completed. 2026, we're now into second quarter. Really, we're just working on things that we know are in process. So stage 23 related things, accreditation related things have been pushed because we've been so busy doing other things. Educational wildfire prevention stuff is really started to get going. Jeremiah securing that $300,000 grant with the state is going to be a game changer. And he is spending correctly a significant amount of time speaking with the residents in Polpatch, persuading them, and it's taking a lot of persuading them to participate in this program to allow the state resources and our resources onto their property to do mechanical removal of underbrush, do the pesticides to get the goats up there. But it's a truly, truly meaningful initiative. It would likely and probably will likely, if they decide to help us out and participate, likely save their homes and have a fire net. The more Jeremiah's got up there, he went to an HOA meeting with them to tell them about the program, talk to them about the benefits and show them the hazards and the threats. And even he came back, even a little bit more worried than I think he was in the past. It is significantly dense oak brush, non-defensible. Like if we had the same fire we had last year and it moved over the mountain to this side and the winds were pushing up that direction.
Sure enough.
Potentially all. So this initiative, again, in hindsight, it's difficult because this is like fire prevention. It is fire prevention stuff. You'll never know the fires that prevent it. But I know if they do participate and we get through this 3-year program, even after year one, I think it's going to make them significantly safer and at least give us a chance almost, which, again, I don't know that we would even be able to try.
Like it would be so intense, it would be so difficult.
Is he meeting any opposition?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We did this about 10, 15 years ago, tried it, and we've met a lot of opposition. They're basically, that's why we build up there, to have this oak brush touching our house, basically. Oh, yes. And
cedar shingles.
Yeah, and that's why we have the fire insurance.
Cedar shingles with oak brush. For 200 yards, and then
I think the fire we had about seven years ago maybe scared them a little bit. Maybe this one upped it too, but still, it's a tough attitude because they're like, yeah, that's why we got the $1 million home, all this beautiful fresh.
So it was with a lot of support at the HOA, and then a lot of backtracking the next week. And he's been doing the soft skills work up there, working with a couple of key individuals. And it sounds like at least this week that they're willing to talk and maybe work for Pister.
I hope so.
He's also been working with the power company. They secured permission to use their corridor, and they're going to participate and do 100 to 150 yards on feet on each side of their power line road, and then we'll dip down over to the neighborhoods where we had the fire last year.
Cool. Do you know,
very cool,
Ryan, if we took pictures or anything, that fire we had, whatever it was, 6-7 years ago, the John Locke property that's right
head. We have pictures of it.
Who happened to, I mean, the fire went right around him because he happened to have cleaned up his yard and his house and everything to get ready for a wedding. And it was around his house because fire mitigation that he had done to get ready for a wedding. And it'd be a good show and tell for them. It's something they can relate to because it's right. It's not in Full Patch, but it's right next to Full Patch, the last house before you go on Full Patch.
And you say there are photos?
It really, I mean, it just went right around, didn't
it's
it?
It's amazing. So hopefully so that the plan from the state is, from what I understand, is to get the permission from the landowners. I think he's got a couple people in North Ogden he still needs to get permission from, right? Yeah. Once he has that secured, then they finalize all the agreements, and then I believe September they go out for the state goes out RFP to do the work, and then it starts during that fall or the next spring. That's a 3-year game.
Cool. Good. Like a no-brainer, Pete, but
Well, these aren't poor people either. I don't know if it's I can build another kind of a thing. I'm not sure, but they're coming around. Jeremiah's did an awesome job. He's not taking no for an answer. When we came to that Oak Tree House. Okay, any questions on strategic plan? That's kind of the highlights. We're doing great.
Great. Thank you. All right. Item number 8 is discussion and or action to surplus Battalion Chief Maple's Toyota fleet truck and resolution 26-08.
So here's the resolution. So we got Chief Maple the new vehicle 2 weeks ago. I think he got it last week. So now we need to surplus the red Toyota Tundra that's out in our parking lot. This is the resolution going through all that. We think we can get around $25,000 for it, which is we bought it for $30,000, I think, ish. So we've driven it for almost 10 years, and we'll get about $5,000 less than what we've paid for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this just gives us permission to start going out and trying to sell it. We have to pull the lights and the siren out of it, but other than that, it's pretty much ready to go.
Oh, really? I think
how are you planning on it?
Hell, we could sell it for more. Well,
get that in.
I tried.
Any 16-year-old teenager.
How are you planning on selling it?
We'll advertise first, so our policies will internally advertise it, and then we just go out on.
Put the minimum bid
in.
I'd move to approve. They're blessing that. I would attract resolution 26 on me.
I second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 26-08. Is there any discussion? Further discussion? Chris.
Nope.
Nope.
I'm good for it, yes.
I heard discussion.
Nope.
Any more discussion? Chris wants it. Chris wants it. Chris wants it.
Everyone. Well, I
said it. He was asking about Chuck.
No, sorry, I was here discussing.
Wants to
discuss. Sorry, no,
yeah, well, that was a little quick in the transition. Sorry about that. So that is a confirmed yes.
Firm.
Okay, Leonard.
Yes.
Kristen.
Yes.
Meredith.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Yes.
Jay.
Let's go.
Jim. Tim's yes.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, that was good.
Okay, item number 9, administration's report.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week with fireworks for those that follow my pistol. We don't always get it right the first time, but we always get it right eventually. We usually get it right the first time. Yeah, we can talk about that as much as you guys want. But, the mayors were correctly responding to the public's feelings regarding this. And we had some unfortunate timing where we made the decision and pushed out the decision over social media, and then Roy decided to burn down three houses. So that changed public sentiment pretty quick. Yeah, slept on it, got back in touch with the mayors. They were very gracious, very open-minded. All of us are committed to changing our mind if more information comes in that says that our original plan was maybe not a good one. So pivoted and crunch time, got the request into the state and granted by the state forester. So the people in your neighborhoods ask, yes, fireworks are prohibited district-wide.
Fantastic. Do we know anyone who's letting them light them up?
What's that?
Is anyone letting them light
up? Riverdale?
Yeah, quite a few cities are.
Plain City has designated areas.
Who has?
Plain City, right?
Mm-hmm. Plain City has, yep. I think the rest of the county.
Riverdale. They have an area too.
Plain City, Riverdale, yeah. And that's it, right? That's the rest of the county.
I guess all diamonds that they have set up for families to go up to and light them up together.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, it sounded like a
different kind of risk.
Yeah.
Legal risk. So that was kind of a feeling from the mayor's that a blanket one across is just easiest to understand. Again, based on, we don't make decisions based on Facebook, but based on public sentiment and the people that contacted them, their constituents, the information they got from the people they represented was that a total ban was preferred. So that was the decision.
I know this is a brief report, but may I ask a question on the Roy fire?
Sure.
So I heard it was started by train breaks. Has that been actually defined? Yeah. That 300 has been confirmed. And what's going
not
on?
Not confirmed. It's very difficult to confirm that. And we already talked about the railroad companies. I believe they're being very careful about knowing for sure before they.
We all know.
Start pointing fingers from the train.
And what's going on with Roy's department? I've heard with Springs that they were now going back to the county.
Yeah, so they're going to Weaver. They got themselves in a pretty tough financial position. They neglected raises for about a decade. They have not been putting depreciated funds aside for capital expenses. So their equipment is aged and not replaceable. Their current budget, and they're losing 25 guys a year, something crazy like that. So they did vote. Their city council voted the intent to join. So now they need to go through the entire process of joining the district, which ultimately has to be approved by the Lieutenant Governor's office. So they need to get all of that completed by the last day of December this year in order to be able to tax, or they end up in the same position that the River Valley's in tax.
Okay, thank you.
They're on track. So Roy and Riverdale.
Oh, Riverdale. Oh,
Riverdale as well. Yep.
Is going back to the county.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So come first of the year, assuming they get all the paperwork done, it's us, Ogden, it's Outlaw.
Yeah.
We don't count the terrorists in Plain City. They're not real fire calls here.
Okay.
I just got to get Leonard to laugh. I don't mean that, of course. Other last thing, badge pinning today was, I think, a success. And I was very proud to recognize both Logan and Preston, who were released from probation. The families were here. Logan's dad, the county chief from Southern California. He couldn't have been prouder. It was amazing. And then we also celebrated Greg and Tanner, completing paramedic school and getting promoted. So that gets us to our 15 paramedic goal. Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool.
That's all I got.
Okay. Thank you. Any
Robin? Admin at round table?
I'm good.
Y'all good?
Yep.
Yeah. Training's awesome, Tom.
Training's always awesome.
Always. Okay, I don't have anything on item 10, 11, and or, other and or identify matters for future consideration and or action. Jay?
Nothing.
John?
Nothing.
I'm good. Digging the chairs.
Budget.
I noticed. What's that? Notice the chairs. Same thing here.
Oh.
Good. We're not all over.
Yeah, these are different chairs, but
we already have them.
They're still 30.
Yeah,
we already
have. Yeah, they're 30. Yeah.
So we are.
Don't hear from
you in this
group.
Yeah.
Like down on the floor. That's all
we send along to the new ones. Really helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah. I know.
Thank you.
That's it.
Okay. Just making sure our truth and taxation is August 3rd.
It's August 3rd. It's Monday, 6 p.m. Monday, August 3rd at 6 p.m.
Okay. That's, I want to make sure I got it right around the corner.
It's in 2 weeks. Well, it's a week from 2 weeks from Monday, I believe. Am I right on that? Or a week?
No, a week.
It's a week. It's a week from Monday. Sorry.
Wow.
Chris? No. Anyone else? Okay. Motion to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Making motions.
No, I didn't.